Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Sorry, I thought he was praying right now for the others. Psalms 104 says, Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He is faithful, he is forgiving, he is merciful, and he's our Redeemer. Amen. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. No matter how many times we fail, God, God's grace is always there. He's always graceful to forgive us. Again, no matter how many times we fail, because he loves us that much, he wants us to be with him.
Thank you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness.
Turn to Acts 3, Acts chapter 3. As you're turning there, starting next Sunday during Sunday school, we are going to be starting a membership class. If you're interested in that or would like to know more about the Church of the Nazarene, I'd love an opportunity to just share that. Whether or not you want to be a member or not, it's just a good time to tell you what we stand for and what we believe in, and you can also ask questions about that. So if you want to be a part of that, just let me know so that I can have paperwork ready next Sunday during Sunday school. It'll probably last 2 weeks unless you have a lot of questions, and then we'll go on as long as we can for that. Acts chapter 3, though, we're continuing on in a series called Astonishing. I asked you last week a question, and I don't know if you wrestled with it, but has anybody ever looked at you and been astonished? And I specified last week in a good way, right? I have astonished people in bad ways numerous times. Lives that astonish people, though, lead to amazing conversations where we get to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We read an account where Peter and John spoke in a way that astonished the religious leaders, right? These were the very men who crucified Jesus Christ. These leaders were filled with wonder by what these unschooled and ordinary men said. And do you remember what they noted? They noted that these men had been with Jesus, right? That's the type of life that I hope that we all want to live today. A life that blows people away, and the only way that they can explain it, the only explanation that they can come up with is, that guy I know is a follower of Jesus Christ. We're continuing in that thought, and today is about one of the hardest things that we can do, but it's also a thing that if we do it, it has the power to astonish people. It has the opportunity to give us a space to talk about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about forgiveness. I imagine that most people in here probably need to ask forgiveness from someone. If you're married, that's a given, right? If you have kids or you are a kid, that's a given. If you're a member of a church and you have a brother and sister, it's a given. We do things. We step on people's toes, sometimes intentionally, sometimes without even realizing it. We've all wronged God, right? And many of us have experienced the astonishing forgiveness that is at the core of Christianity. Peter said in Acts 3:19 this, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out." That times of refreshing, right, may come from the Lord. That's an amazing verse. To repent means to turn to God. It means we were heading in our own direction, living life how we wanted to, living for our selfish desires, right? But then we encountered the living God. We encountered Jesus Christ, and he said, "Follow me. Turn from your selfish ways and follow me." And you answered that. You turned and began to follow him. You sought forgiveness, and he began to show you how to live a life a different way, with a different purpose, with different meaning, right? And Peter tells us that when we do that, our sins will be wiped out. Amazing. Wiped out. And if that wasn't incredible enough, we can experience times of refreshing from the Lord. This is the gospel. This is it. This is what we preach, right? This is what we want to share with people. This is what we have experienced. And this is what we want other people to experience to the fullest. Stop going your way. Admit your way is wrong and turn to God, right? And through Christ, he will forgive you and your sins will be wiped out. Not some of your sins. This is not saying they'll be covered for a little bit in a little way, right, for a certain amount of time. No, they will be wiped out. And you don't have to be weighed down by them anymore. Can we get this picture? The Greek word for wiping out here has this meaning of being obliterated. Have you ever obliterated anything? We were shooting some Tannerite, and we had this 2-pound sonic boom, and we put that container in a stump and shot it, and I kid you not, I felt a shockwave from that thing, and it rained toothpicks. There is no putting that thing back together. That's what the God of the universe wants us to know about our sins. They have been wiped out. They have been obliterated if we repent and follow him, right? Amen. Jesus, the holy, perfect Son of God, nailed to a cross, mocked, spit on, curses thrown at him, beard ripped out, beaten so badly. The word says he no longer resembled being a man. Even a Roman soldier recognized that, recognized the supernatural, recognized the travesty, right? And this Jesus responds on the cross by saying, Father, what? Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. If you aren't astonished by that, I don't know what I can tell you. Astonishing forgiveness. And the God of the universe offers that to anyone and everyone who will turn to him, who will cry out to him and ask for it. He wipes, he obliterates their sins so that they can experience times of refreshing. Read Psalm 103, verse 8 says this, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. How are you doing with your anger? Don't you wish you were slow to anger? Our Lord is. He will not always accuse. There is an accuser. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. We treat people as their sins deserve, not him. Or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Have you ever stood at the base of a mountain and just been blown away by the scale and majesty and size of that? That is likened to God's great love for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions for us. As far as the east is from the west. If I go to Attica, I can't see my home, right? We can't even see, we can't even view our sins because they've been wiped out. They've been obliterated. There are people that you know that are living under the weight of their sin. There are people that you know that do not know this good news, do not understand this good news. And you're holding back on telling them. We're holding back on telling them about this astonishing forgiveness. They're living with heavy shame. They're living with regret. And we have the ability to tell them about the God of the universe who saves, who obliterates those things, who wipes them away, who delivers times of refreshing. Maybe I should ask you, have you received that? Have you honestly, fully received that? Have you repented and turned to him? Have your sins been obliterated? Are they gone? Are you still carrying them around? Still carrying around the guilt and the shame? Are you still trying to pay for them yourself? Are you carrying around a backpack of your failure, convinced that you must bear this weight because you cannot embrace this idea of a God who bears it for you? Take the backpack off. Memorize Romans 8:1, right? The word of God proclaims, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? That should be a verse that you have memorized so that when the accuser comes and reminds you of those things and points out those things, you can speak the word back to him. Astonishing forgiveness is in my story today. I woke up to it. I will go to sleep in it. Do you have it? I'm grateful because the God of the universe knew that I could never pay for the things I've done. I could never earn my way to him. And so he made this way, right? It's a God-sized plan. A God-sized way that extends to everyone alive today. How many billion people does that extend to? Not only everyone alive today, but everyone who has ever lived or who will ever live. That is why we rebuke anything that claims that Jesus is not God. Because if he is not, then his sacrifice will not be enough. He will not be perfect enough to pay for it. If he's just another created being like the Lamb, it will not suffice for eternity. No, he is God. And that is why his sacrifice is able to create this way to reconciliation. I want to ask you today, have you received that? And if not, why not? God is offering it to you freely, right? To wipe your sins away, to take that backpack off of you, to give you times of refreshing. And I pray that the person in here that needs to hear that has ears to hear today. And you can embrace that and find rest and peace in that. If we do receive that, then that leads us to this next area. The greatest demonstration of our comprehension of the gospel is our willingness to forgive. Will you leave that up there? The greatest demonstration of our comprehension of the gospel is our willingness to forgive. Because the gospel is all about forgiveness, right? Thank you. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, right? Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is a command from God. It's not something we will want to do, but it's something that we are moved to do because it is what God did for us, right? At great cost. God is a God of justice. God is a God of love, but he is equally a God of justice. Forgiveness does not remove justice. I think sometimes that maybe we think it does. It's not like God magically wiped your sins away. When we ask to be forgiven, right, he doesn't just sweep our sins under the rug, and that's how he takes care of them. There is accountability. And let me just say, when you forgive, there should be justice as well. You're not asked to sweep what other people did under there. Authorities can be brought in to certain situations and should be, right? But forgiveness is a posture that your heart takes in how you see that person. Your sins were wiped away, but there was justice. Your sins were wiped away, by the blood of Jesus Christ. There was a price that was paid. My sin was placed upon him, and he hung on a cross, right? And he drank the cup of God's wrath for my sins. Our God is fully a God of justice. So justice should be a part of forgiveness. Sometimes justice doesn't happen, though, here on this earth. And that can make things hard to forgive for us. What we need to realize is that everyone will stand before God and give an account for their life. Everyone. Sinner, saint. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Romans 14:12, "So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." Matthew 12:36, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." If you find yourself struggling with unforgiveness, a great realization is that you can leave justice to God. For no one escapes standing before him. That's freeing, knowing that I don't have to make somebody else pay for what they've done, for what they deserve. There was a guy who used to come to this church, not inside the church, but this guy had a nice Mustang car. It was unique, and they used to come at night and do donuts in our parking lot. It was gravel at the time, and all that stone would get flung into our yard. Sometimes this guy would have the brilliant idea of going through our grass and doing those donuts. He did it quite a few times. And we could always get a glimpse of the car. We knew the make and the model of the car, but we could never get the license plate. I would be at home sitting in my living room, and I would see the lights pull in. This was before the blessing box, and now it's just 24/7 lights pulling in. But I would see those lights pulling in, and then all of a sudden I'd see them start to spin. And I'd grab my keys, and I'd grab my car, and this was before the Charger days. And I'd chase after him, but I could never catch him. This went on for over a year. Years later, I found the car. There was an older woman driving it. I'm sure it was her son that was taking it for a joyride. And I followed her home. I found out exactly where she lived. It's too late, I thought, to get the sheriff involved. So I started thinking about revenge. I started to think about breaking into the garage she parked it in and maybe doing something to it. That can take you down a road you don't want to go, right? I thought of that often for days, for months. And then the Lord spoke to me. Romans 12:17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you," it doesn't always depend on you, right? That did. "Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends." Don't take revenge, that person's going to get away with it, right? "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Whew. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." That's freeing. That's freeing when you get a hold of that. Now, true forgiveness doesn't relish in that. Right? I'm not going to forgive and then take great joy in thinking ahead to one day this person standing before the Lord and having God's wrath come their way. That's not what it's about. And the thing that allows me to let go is not that picture. The thing that allows me to let go is really simple. At one time, God's wrath was headed my way. one time it was coming. But Jesus embraced me. Right? Embraced me. Took my place on the cross. Bore the pain of that sin. And drank the cup of God's wrath that was meant for me. That is truth that enables me to forgive others. Only that is the truth that allows me to do that. Romans 12:20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. How are you doing on that? If he is thirsty, give him a drink of water. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Again, it's not about sending the gift card to your enemy, right, to Chipotle, and you can have, and they can have that meal, and you're just like, I hope this every bite of that burrito is burning coals on your head. I hope you choke on it, right? Because the wrath of God is coming your way. No, it's not about that. It's different. That's not Holy Spirit filled. That's not Holy Spirit enabled. That's not mature follower of Jesus Christ. That's not somebody who has had his life turned upside down by God's grace and forgiveness, is it? That's not what it looks like. That doesn't resemble astonishing forgiveness. Like the astonishing forgiveness that I've received. That doesn't look like freedom, does it? That looks like bondage. I don't know what terrible thing has happened to you this week or 25 years ago. Don't be burdened by revenge, though. Leave room for God. Sometimes revenge doesn't look like we think it looks. Sometimes our revenge is that we'll never speak to that person again. We'll make them pay in that way. Sometimes we've cut people out of our lives. I have to be careful here because sometimes people are abusive and so we shouldn't be associating with them. We can forgive them. Sometimes we need to cut cords. But sometimes we do it in order to hold something against somebody. Sometimes we stuff something down so that we don't have to deal with it instead of addressing it, right? I'm not going to talk to my spouse because of what they did. That might be an example of it. And I'm going to give her the silent treatment. The enemy's plan is for you to take your unforgiveness, take your offense, and bury it like a potato in the ground. That's his idea. Some of us have done that. We've taken those potatoes and buried them so far down we can't even see them, right? Thinking that they won't bother us anymore. But here's the thing about potatoes. In the ground, they're either going to rot or they're going to sprout. That's what happens to the things that we bury, right? When we bury stuff, we don't really forget it. It's still there. It's still on our mind. It still affects us in deep ways. We might not realize it, right? We think we left it in the ground, but we really take it with us. We take it into our marriage. We pass it down to our kids, right? Some of our kids hold grudges against people that we have issues with simply because we passed it down to them. Some of our kids are carrying our unforgiveness. All I can say is, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it go. Be freed from it. Quit carrying it. Quit leave it buried. Take it out. Set it at the foot of the cross, right? And leave it there. Leave room for God's wrath. Don't be in bondage to it. Walk free. I don't know what tremendous pain you've experienced. I don't know what emotion you've experienced, right? But I know somebody who does. I know someone that has borne every sin committed and the wrath of God towards it. And you do too. So go to him with it and leave it with him. Forgiveness is not only freeing you, but it also opens the door for unmatched intimacy with God. Unmatched. Did you know that? Matthew wrote this in 5:23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. We think worship should always be first, right? We should always be worshiping God first. But in this case, Jesus tells us, leave your gift there and be reconciled to that person. Right? Unforgiveness, a seed of anger, our broken relationships with brothers and sisters is so serious in that it can be something that comes between us and God. It can be something that comes between them and God. Jesus tells us to be reconciled first and then offer our worship. This is huge. Some of you may struggle with intimacy with God. Some of you may hear people talking about the peace that comes from being in a relationship with God, and you might just be struggling day after day to find that peace, to find that intimacy. Is there something that needs to be reconciled? Is there something that needs to be forgiven? This could be a part of that. Part of you not finding peace. Notice Jesus says that not necessarily even if you did anything or you need to ask for forgiveness. He just says if your brother or sister has something against you, if somebody has something against you, go and be reconciled to him. These are Jesus' words. This ain't Pastor James up here. These are Jesus' words. You can't ignore it. You have to address it, right? When our tendency is to feel somebody pull back, what's your first response? It's got to be to go to them. Your natural desire is going to be to pull back as well. But that accomplishes nothing. That means nothing. You got to go to that person, right? When we know the relationship is strained, don't fall into the trap of the enemy that wants to separate you, that wants to see a division come, right? His goal is to pull us apart. Why? Because if he pulls us apart, he knows he can take us off mission, right? He wants to see us separated. You could be in the right and know that somebody has something against you, and you're still commanded to go and talk to that person, to seek reconciliation. You might not find it. You might not achieve that. But we are called to seek it out and to make an attempt, right? This is how churches split. Right? Somebody gets mad. Somebody else. Each side draws up sides, right? And then there's a wedge that comes and the church splits. What if we messed up and we just went to that person and said, you know what? I didn't treat you the best. What if we just owned it? What if we just relied on grace? What if we just went to him and shared that, right? Listen, what if we saw the people pulling back and we just went to them and said, hey, is there something going around on? Did I do something to you? Have I offended you? What if we sought that out? What if we headed it off? What if we asked for forgiveness? Man, I've had to ask for a lot of forgiveness in this church. I remember some Methodists came to our church, and I said something from the pulpit one day about not being freeloaders here while their church was closed. And I didn't mean it. I sometimes joke about stuff, right? And I had to ask for forgiveness with that. I didn't mean it that way, right? Go to them. Be reconciled, right? Sometimes we have to leave our gift at the altar and go to that person. Sometimes we do that, though, and we go to that person and we come swinging. That's not in an effort to be reconciled. That's in an effort to put that person down, put that person into place for us to be elevated. No, be reconciled, right? Go to that person seeking reconciliation, not bringing the list. That's not our goal. Is your goal for them to realize how they messed up, or is your goal to be reconciled? That's a simple question that you need to ask yourself when you do approach somebody. Jesus wants us to take a good inward look, right? A good inward look. Do you remember this, Matthew 7:3? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I learned this in marriage. Sometimes my wife would do something and I thought she was completely in the wrong. But then I would talk to her and I would see, oh, wow, what I did played a big role in what she did. That's what happens in the church. Right, we look at the other person and all we can focus in on and all we can see about is what that person did wrong, but we don't ever look inward and realize, man, maybe I have a role to play to this. Can you make the focus yourself? And that's why you can go to somebody and say, man, I didn't treat you the best, in the best way. Will you forgive me? Could you imagine if we did that? What would happen? I see people so mad at each other, and they both played a role in it. And they both have ownership in it, but they will not focus on themselves. They just focus in on what the other person did. So let me ask you this. Is there a brother? Is there a sister that has something against you? Jesus tells you to go and be reconciled to them. Will you follow the word of God? Or will you make an excuse? Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Forgiving is releasing that thing. Releasing your right for revenge and for payment from that person. Releasing what they've done against you. We have to make reconciliation and forgiveness a big part of our life in this church. Otherwise, we'll be torn apart, right? Otherwise, we'll never live astonishing lives that point to Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about forgiveness. It is at our core, right? And if we call ourselves follower of Jesus Christ, then it has to be at our core. First Peter 4:8. Can I go back to that? Above all. Above what? Above how much? Above all. Love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. This is something to preach at a board meeting. Right? Because sometimes we step on each other's toes, but there's grace. Grace, love, covers a multitude of sins. We are going to do things to each other. Let's give each other grace. Right? You can either do that or hang on to unforgiveness and offense. We're about to have communion. We're about to recognize what Jesus Christ did for us. We sang about what Jesus Christ did for us. We sang about 1,000 times, right? And yet his mercy remains. He took our place. He drank the cup that was meant for us. And we have the audacity to hang on to unforgiveness? I think it's a slap in the face, isn't it? Whatever you're doing, whatever you're holding on to, lay it down. All I can tell you is be reconciled. Seek it out at least. I leave you with these words that were spoken in the beginning, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How? How are we called to forgive each other? Just as in Christ God forgave you. How has Christ forgiven you? How does that look compared to the forgiveness that you offer? I had a lot of anger towards my dad, and I wrote him off at a point. And this verse came up, and God told me, do you remember that time that I forgave you and then I never spoke to you again? No, I don't remember that time. Remember that time that I forgave you and I wanted nothing to do with you? No. Then be reconciled. But he's done so many things. Do you remember how many things you've done to me? Do you remember how many times I've forgiven you? 7? 77? 70 times 7? 1,000 times? How does your forgiveness compare to the forgiveness you've received? That's a great thing to reckon, to wrestle with, isn't it? I got to be reconciled to my dad, and he's dead. Can you imagine the guilt I would have had if I hadn't been reconciled to him? We're not guaranteed another day. That's why Jesus says, listen, go, leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled. That's the choice that we have. Amen? We're about to have communion. Search your heart. What is he saying to you? Not what did I say to you. What does his word say to you? Right? This is a time to think about his amazing love, his great forgiveness for us, and to think about how that impacts our life and how we should respond. Settle things before you come up. If you don't know him, maybe you've never made that decision, ask him to forgive you. Hear him calling you to turn from your ways and follow him and do that. Yes, Lord, I've been hanging in this direction, headed in this direction, living for myself, living these selfish lives, these ways, and there's nothing good that comes from it, and I don't want that anymore. I want to follow you. Will you forgive me? Will you accept me? Will you make me your son? Will you make me your daughter? And embrace forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. And then share it with those that you need to. Amen.